Good morning. Worship service for our guests. We are glad you are here. Hope you have come back anytime you are in the area. And you all are honored guests. We hope you find everything that we do here according to God's word. Members on the sick list this morning, the only one I have is Christina. She's homesick, so we don't remember her as well. Out of town, Charlotte and Andrew are out of town. And then Courtney said she has a plane to catch, so she'll be leaving before services is over. So we will remember these people that are out of town this morning. No building cleaning this week. Wednesday invitation will be by Brother Mark Kaysen. Then we'll meet again this afternoon at 4 p.m. And of course, Wednesday night for Bible study at 7 p.m. Order of service this morning, Mark Kaysen will have the opening prayer. Lord's Supper will be headed by Jesse and Dave will assist. Song leader will be by Brother Keith, and he has selected 682. 682. Of course, Chuck will be bringing our lesson. Then Brother Tim will have a closing prayer this morning. For other announcements, the ladies' class will be at 7 p.m. tomorrow night at the Clark's house. And then Carrie, she's at work this morning. And Martin Evans, he's also at work this morning. The Ecclesiastes class will not be this Friday, but the following Friday. So it'll be on the 28th at the Kaysen's house. So mark that in your calendars for that evening. It's a very good class, and the Kaysen's are very, very good folks. So mark that on your calendar as well. That's all I have at this time. If there's anything that I failed to mention or overlooked, please bring it up, and I'll mention it again this evening. So I'm so still keep.
From 682, to God be the glory.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who did live his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord.
First time I've led it, so I'm going to try to get started right here. Number 950. After we sing this song, we'll have our opening prayer.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty side and to become the God. Christ the Lamb of God.
Give me just 1 minute. I'm going to think it's a little low.
Your gift of love, they crucified, they laughed and shook him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud, and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God,
before you, thanking you for this new day of life you've given us, the measure of health that has allowed us to come and assemble this morning. Thank you for this first day of the week, Father, which is that time that has been, that you have set aside for us to worship you and to direct our minds back upon the time when Jesus went to the cross for the sins of mankind. Father, as the song we just said, that we just sang, so beautifully depicts that sacrifice that he made for us. We're so grateful, Father. We are in awe of your greatness and your power, but in your tender love and mercy, it is unsearchable, it's unknowable. You would send such a great gift to sacrifice for the sins of mankind. We are humbled by that, and we pour out our hearts in praise and thanksgiving to you for giving us a second chance. Father, we pray that you be with each of us in this local congregation, that we strive to come to a complete understanding of what it is that you would have us to do in your will, and that we will be of the minds and eager hearts to do those things, to not only live faithful lives before you on an individual level, but to work as long as we can to help the local congregation succeed in this community. Because, Father, there are people all around us who so desperately need the gospel. Talk to them as who so desperately need to respond to it. Help us, Father, to make our own election sure by doing those things with due diligence to our service today. Father, as we ask you, please look down upon those that are sick. We know several who are dealing with terrible diseases. Some are in very dire straits. We know, Father, that you have a will for all of us, and sometimes that will is not apparent. But help us, Father, to trust and lean upon you, and we know what is best for us, and we know what is best for them. We trust that, Father. We ask now for your tender mercy to look down upon us, forgive us for where you failed you, Father. For we ask this in Jesus' dear name. Amen. Amen.
We'll sing song number 217 before the Lord's Supper is offered. Song number 217. He loves me. 217.
Why did the Savior heaven leave and come to earth below? Where men his grace because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so. Why did the Savior mark the way, and why temptation know? Why teach and toil and plead and pray? Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so. Why feel the garden's dreadful dross, why through his trials go? Why suffer death upon the cross? Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know.
Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I was also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment of himself." At this time we have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper as we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross. It is that sacrifice that was made that we have the forgiveness of our sins and an opportunity to get to heaven. Let us pray at this time as we give thanks for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your Son and the great sacrifice that was made in our behalf. We pray that we are living our lives as a living sacrifice to you, and that we are living in such a way that this sacrifice will not have been in vain. Thank you for this bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. saved to give thanks for the cup.
Dear Heavenly Father, so thankful for your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, and his willingness to come upon this earth, go through the suffering and the pain that he went through because of his love for us, the shedding of blood upon the cross of Calvary, gives us hope of having everlasting eternal life with you someday. At this time, as we partake of the fruit of the vine, which so fittingly represents the shed blood, may we do so in a manner, dear Father, pleasing unto thee and in accordance to thy will. Forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' dear name, amen. Amen.
That concludes the Lord's Supper. At this time, we also have the opportunity to give back a portion to the Lord. Let's give thanks. Our Father in Heaven, we are so very thankful for how richly blessed we are. We pray that as followers of yours, that we would be good stewards of what you have blessed us with, as we know that everything belongs to you and we are just managers of it. We pray that we've each set aside at this time properly a portion of what we have earned, so that the work here may continue and progress. We pray that you would help the funds to be used wisely and to their utmost potential. We pray that you'd be with us the rest of this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Take the marker from your songbook. Mark song number 674. For 674, we'll sing that as a song of invitation after Chuck's lesson. Once you mark that page, we're going to make a slight change. We're going to change to song number 219. For 219. Is it convenient? Would you please stand? We'll sing this song. For 219.
All day long of Jesus I am singing. He my song of joy will ever be. All the while he keeps my heart bells ringing. For his love is everything to me. He is my king, and though I dearly love him, he is my king, no other is above him. All day long in raptured praise I sing. Savior, he's my King. Dreams of love around my soul are flowing. From his heart flows everlasting spring. That is why my faith in him I'm showing. That is why in endless song I sing. He's my King, and though I dearly love him, no other is above him. All day long in raptured praise I sing. He's my Savior, he's my King. In his light I'm going home to glory. With a soul to trust his saving grace. Going home to sing and tell his story. In the blessed sunshine of his face, he is my King, and oh, I dearly love him. He is my King, no other is above him. All day long in raptured praise I sing. He is my Savior, he's my King.
Please open your Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, so you can follow along in your study. Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark, chapter 16. It's good to see everyone out this morning. People are asking me how I was doing this morning. I'm particularly feeling great today because of yesterday. And yesterday was a great day in progress for the building. It was a great day. So things are really lining up when you have all the people there and all the pieces coming together. Truly excited about it, and a lot's going to happen this week, and then we'll keep you posted when we're going to need a lot of hands, those who know how to handle a hammer. Anyways, until then, we're going to be here, and I'm just telling you, just don't get too comfortable here. We're leaving here, Lord willing, someday soon. In the book of Mark, I want to start reading in verse 14 in chapter 16. So it's 14 to the end of the chapter. Follow along. Later he appeared to the 11, and of course this is after Jesus has resurrected from the dead. As we're about to read, he ascends back into heaven. So later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Of course, that's the text I would have read this morning in our Bible class that actually comes out and says, you confirm the word. They confirmed it in the first century with the signs and wonders that were done that he just mentioned previously to that existed in the first century. But what I want to particularly notice today is this commission. We often refer to as the Great Commission here in verse 15, where he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." So let's talk about some powerful lessons that we can glean from that this morning. And one of the first things I want us to consider that is that you can't preach it unless it's been revealed. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, wait a minute, Chuck. You just said here, or it said, that he appeared to the 11. Why didn't he appear to the 12? Well, Judas is gone. No, he's out of the picture. And he goes and he hangs himself. So there's just 11 of them. And then we read a little bit later that as he was speaking to them, he was received up into heaven. And you can read that in Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11. The 11 are standing there, and Jesus ascends back into heaven. And the angel says, "Why are you standing here gazing?" He's coming back. So he leaves. But wait a second. Go and preach. How are you going to go preach? How are they going to be able to do that? Well, Jesus had already taken care of that. He'd already talked to them and prepared them for what was going to happen. Look, turn in your Bible to the book of John, the 14th chapter. Some great verses here in John, and then we'll just look at another one in chapter 16. But in John chapter 14, looking at verse 25, Jesus speaking says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper," some would have the Comforter, "the Holy Spirit," he identifies who it is, "the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said." If you turn over to the 16th chapter of John, just turn the page over there, chapter 16, he tells us in verse 13, again he makes this promise, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So when Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel," and then he leaves, like, oh, great, we can't go preach the gospel. Yeah, you can. Because I already told you, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to be guided into all truth. When did that happen? Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. So they're going, and they're preaching it, and they wrote it down, and we have access to it today. And that's why we can go about teaching it. But remember, you can't preach what you do not know, but now they know it. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. I don't have time. I really wanted to read like 1 through 12, but we'll just read a little bit of this in Ephesians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1. And it makes the point that it was a mystery. It's not a mystery anymore. If something's not a mystery, it means something's been made known. He says in verse 1, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery." That's what he told the other 11. "As I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." And so that's the point. It's not a mystery anymore. Go and preach the gospel to all the world. And that's what we're trying to do today. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, he called the gospel the word of truth. The word of truth has been given, folks. We have it. That's Jude 3. It's been delivered. And so there's nothing missing. You know, when you tell people you're going to be guided into all truth, well, what part are you going to leave out? You're going to be guided into all truth. Not some, not most, not almost all of it. All truth. And so we can stand before anybody, open up our Bibles. You don't have to stand, you can be sitting. You can show them. You can show them. You can say, "Look, all truth has been given." And as I've taught in other sermons, that should raise a red flag when somebody tells you, "Well, the Lord spoke to me last night." Huh? What? Well, yeah, I got a special message for you. I don't advise you to do that. It kind of pumps me when I come here to preach. But I was so far ahead this morning because I got up early this morning. And take the TV program, and then I And I was still way ahead, you know. I'd already eaten, and I said, now what am I going to do? And so to pump me up, I go on my iPad, talk about TV evangelist, you know. I shouldn't do that, but I did, you know, because it kind of motivates me. And I'm just surprised what people will believe. You know, they get up there, and I don't know how many of them would say, and the Lord laid this on my heart today. If you give $1,000, you don't think, wait a second, forget the $1,000 for a moment. You know, always wanting getting money from people. The Lord told you what? Where's that? How do you check that out? You see, the point is, we have the word. We can go preach the gospel. And so many people today are preaching whatever they want. Whatever is laid upon them, so to speak. And people say, Chuck, what do you preach? How do you? Well, I study and I share what I learn. It's not rocket science. Yeah, but how did you put this sermon together? I mean, how did it all happen that you, you know, Mark chapter 16, were you lying in bed and all of a sudden, Mark,
preach on my...
Was that what happened? It didn't happen that way, folks. You study, and I thought, you know what, that would be a good lesson to put together. And that's what you do. There's nothing miraculous about it, but this is inspired. And so we need to understand that this commission to go preach the gospel was made possible by the fact that the truth has been revealed. And so you and I, we will preach it. And I already touched on it a little bit, but the idea, again, I want to focus more on the preacher. Now, I know I said in verse in Ephesians chapter 3, that verse that says, when Paul said, when I preach it, you may understand. Well, yes, that's one aspect. And I want to talk about those people who are teaching. Go preach it. The reason why you can go preach it, any one of us can preach the word, is because you can understand what to preach. Did you get that? You can understand what to preach. It doesn't make you a very effective teacher to teach things and they go, say what? I'm not following you. You need to be able to understand what that message is, and it can be comprehended. And here's my point. Over in 1 Peter, one of my favorite passages for us as Christians to be mindful of, and I just used it on the TV program because I was talking about, I just thought I would put a program together that if people wanted copies, it would be good for their children or their grandchildren or their friends. But it's on, here are the serious problems with evolution. Of course, that would relate to last week's sermon. Here are some serious problems with evolution. And in that program this morning, I said, I'm not preaching the Bible today. I know it's called Study the Word, but I said, we're not doing it today because if you don't believe in God, you don't believe this is God's Word. So I said, I'm not going to use the Bible to prove it. But I did use this verse this morning to show that we who believe in creation, those who are Christians, we know why we believe what we believe. And I said, if you believe in evolution, you better know why you believe in it. And this is the verse. In 1 Peter chapter 3, he tells us in verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's within you with meekness and fear. His point is, people have questions. Give them answers. Preach the gospel. Well, will the gospel have the answers? Yes. Yes. And if there are no answers, you don't need to know it. So what do you mean by that, Chuck? Well, quickly in passing, I would say, if somebody says, what does God look like? Don't know? Move on. So there's some things you don't know, okay? But what you do need to know has been revealed. And so we have to give an answer. So when you preach the gospel, it's telling me that we can comprehend it. We can only answer Bible questions with Bible answers. Tell people that all the time. If you want to come here and get Bible answers, you've come to the right place. If you're coming here not to get Bible answers, you come to the wrong place. You're not going to get what you're looking for. This is why Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, he said, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. When they like it, when they don't like it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Can you do that? Yes. Why? Because the gospel is understandable. You can teach that message because you can understand it, Timothy. Get this. I'm not talking about your hearers right now. That's later on in that text. Remember in that text, Paul told Timothy, they are not going to endure sound doctrine. They're going to heap for themselves teachers having itching ears and turn away to fables. But I'm not talking about them. I'm wanting us to see that we can go preach it because, you know what? Number one, it's been revealed. And number two, it's not that complicated. The world and the religious realm seems to think that whoever stands behind the pulpit are the only people who can really grasp the truth. I probably try to spend all my time when I'm teaching in classes or when the radio and TV, you know, we have the different guys come on. I think it's a wonderful thing. We have 9 different guys come on the radio program. They carry it. I shut up. They're talking. Guess what? They know the gospel too. They can teach it too. It isn't certain people can have the ability. The gospel was revealed in such a way, folks, that we can comprehend it. Now, some people don't. For example, Hebrews chapter 5, wasn't that they couldn't. Hebrews chapter 5, writing to Christians. Remember, that's what Jesus said. Go preach the gospel. Verse 12 of Hebrews 5 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. You should have been teachers by now. But you need someone to teach you again the first principles of oracles of God. And you have come need of milk and not of solid food. You needed to have gone on to the meat by now. But his point was, you should be teachers by now. Oh, no, I can't. Yeah. Why can't you be a teacher? Well, it's too hard. No, it's not. The gospel has been revealed. The gospel can be understood. Therefore, the gospel is to be preached, folks. We get that. But there's some who don't apply themselves, as he mentions here. And you also have those, like in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 3, and in verse 7, he describes the people here, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You could come here every week since I've been here. 6 years. Sermon. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Bible class Sunday morning, Bible class on Sundays. You can come for all those years and not learn a lesson. How's that possible? Well, you can come ever learning but never coming to the knowledge. There's some people who just don't want to learn. But I want us to understand that we can go into all the world and preach the gospel because, number one, it's been revealed. Number two, it is understandable. The confidence that we have of this is why we're here today. John 8:32, you can know the truth. You can know the truth, and the truth sets you free. That's what Tony was talking about. You can know it if you want to know it. But I'm not talking about the people that are up there should be seeking it. I'm talking about you and I and this commission of going preaching. Go teach it, folks. Don't say it hasn't been revealed. It has. I know you know it. Secondly, don't say it's too hard. It's not too hard. You understand this. You can, is the one. Third thing I love about this text, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's for everyone. It is for everyone. There are no barriers. You know, I think of somebody like Noah in 2 Peter, he talked about Noah there in 2 verse 9, saying he was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Well, how many were on the boat? 8. Failure. Look, no, he wasn't a failure. He was a preacher of righteousness. He told people about the flood. He's building the ark. He's communicating that to everybody. It wasn't like God said, Noah, build the ark. I want you and your family, your daughters and your sons and your daughters-in-law. I just want you guys to be on that boat. So build it. I want to save you guys. I want to just save you guys. That wasn't what God said. Build the ark. You be a preacher of righteousness. Let other people know about it. That's what we do. We're not heart inspectors. Sometimes people want to be. I can't read the hearts of people. So we are to be like Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When we go teach, our mindset is simply that we plant and water. And that's what he says here in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 3. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We just plant water, folks, but where? Everywhere. Everywhere. It doesn't matter what your background. There are no barriers. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature is the key. The all nations phrase is what's used in the commission that you read in Matthew. Go to Matthew, last chapter. Verse 28 of Matthew. Chapter 28, excuse me. Matthew 28, look at verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of what? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. I know I'm a broken record on this, folks, but you know that's the verse right there that proves that that commission was for everybody. You can go to Mark chapter 16 and say, Chuck, he was talking to the apostles. Well, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not me. That's not us. What do you say right here? 19 and 20 said, go, therefore, it's the same commission. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Teach them all things that I've commanded you. And you know, one of those things is that he commanded them was, go make disciples. So I know, without a doubt, that that was for everybody. So we just don't want to put it on them. Your life, my life, is to be seen by others. Matthew chapter 5. Let our light shine before men so they can see our good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, the 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slack concerning this. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing, what? That any should perish. We don't want anybody to perish. Nobody. Now, we won't change the truth. We won't try to sugarcoat it. We won't try to entertain folks. We won't try to swell in ways that God doesn't approve of. But that doesn't mean we're trying to create barriers. We want everybody to obey. Why? Because he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And folks, that means everybody. So the people that you come in contact with, we're not heart inspectors. So we say, oh, they wouldn't want it. Oh, they'll just say no. Let them say no. Let's do our part, like he said. Go and preach the gospel to everybody. Now, the great thing about this, which is wonderful, is what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 when he said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Folks, I just don't want to preach the gospel without a purpose. I want people saved. I want people saved. I mean, if you don't think about the salvation part, where's the motivation? The motivation for us to go preach the gospel is we want people saved. We talked about in our Bible study this morning. We don't want to be apathetic here. We, as a congregation, Jesse mentioned in his prayer, use the funds. We want to evangelize this area. We want to do all that we can on an individual basis, as collectively as a church, to fund efforts. We want the gospel out there. Why? Well, it's for everybody. Yes, but why? Because we want people saved. People are lost. We were lost. There's the motivation. I know what it's like. You do too. You know what it's like to be on the other side, don't you? Do you remember when you were lost? Do you remember when you were found? That's the point when you become saved. He describes it right here, that people can be saved. That's why Jesus came. Matthew 1:21 says, before Jesus came, that he's going to come and he's going to save his people from their sins. From our sins. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Now we know why we need to go into all the world and preach the gospel, because all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. So it separates us from God. We need to see the way it was. Remember Ephesians 1? If you don't, I'm going to read it. Ephesians 1:1. No, Ephesians 2:1. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, when he writes to these Christians, he says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You guys remember that? For those of you who are Christians, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you, Romans 6:12. You obeyed. You wanted to be saved. That was in Acts chapter 2 when Peter and the other apostles said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. It's all about being saved, folks, from our sin. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. I have done that for 30 years, just writing it. God, man, sin. There's the simple story of the Bible. God had a way to remove sin so you can be with the Father. It was his Son. We call that salvation. Being reunited. Become alive. Well, how do you do that, Chuck? Well, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes, this is the map.
How simple is it?
Believe and be baptized and you're saved. Do you know how many Bible studies I've been into? Oh, you don't have to be baptized. Oh, so what you're saying, if you believe, you're saved. Yeah. Well, that's not what that says. See, I want to be saved. That's part of the gospel message. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. But Chuck, the latter part of that verse says, but he who doesn't believe will be condemned. Okay, so let's do this. There's the math question. So, believe and be baptized equals salvation. What if you cover up belief? If you don't believe, well, not going to be saved. What if you cover up baptism? Not going to be saved. Person who doesn't believe, why would he be baptized? That makes sense. You know, the Lord doesn't have to say, if you don't believe and if you don't get baptized, you're not going to be saved. You don't have to say that. It's like, you know, if you don't eat and digest your food, you're going to die. Right? So, I mean, you don't have to say that. If you don't eat, you're going to die. Well, no, you mean if I don't eat and I don't digest my food, I'm going to die. Well, man, if you're not going to eat, you're not digesting. I mean, it just goes together. And so the point was, in this text, whenever I read this verse, I ask people three questions. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not will be condemned. What saves you?
This.
What condemns you?
If you don't do this.
Which one do you want? That. But that's the point of preaching the gospel, so that people can become alive. Didn't we read that? That's why we read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. You were dead in your trespasses and sin, but you've been made alive. You become alive. Well, you're going to have to come back from the dead, so to speak. If you're dead in your trespasses and sins, if you're dead in them, you need to become alive. Right? That makes sense. Well, Chuck, what do you mean? I can understand you for teaching this to somebody for the very first time. Those of us who are familiar with the Bible, you know this makes sense from Romans chapter 6. But I want to make this point perfectly clear to you this morning. If you're dead in your trespasses and sins, you need to be made alive. How do you become alive? Well, how could anybody, forget the spiritual level, on a physical level, how could anybody who's physically dead be made alive? Well, Chuck, that's easy. It's resurrected. That's right. Resurrected. Now, I can't do that. If somebody's dead, I'm not raising them from the dead. But spiritually, that's exactly what Jesus will do for you. Jesus says, you're dead in your trespasses and sins, but you need to be made alive. Well, Lord, how am I going to be made alive? Well, I'm going to resurrect you. How are you going to resurrect me? You tell me if this doesn't describe that. Listen to this. Romans chapter 6. If you've never read this, I want you to turn to it. But listen to these words. As Paul talks to these Christians, and we've read this many times, but in connection with going to all the world and preach the gospel, you need to see the connection. In verse 3 of Romans chapter 6, Paul said this to Christians, because he's reminding them of what they did in the past. He said, do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. If we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. What? He who has died has been freed from sin? Yeah, because they've been resurrected. When did they die? Buried. You put to death. That's what he's talking about. You put to death the old man, you rise up in newness of life. Oh, power in the water. No power. No power in the water. power in the gospel, remember? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, he said, is the power unto salvation. That's why we said the gospel has been revealed. The gospel is understandable. The message, the word is the power. There's where the power is. Do you ever listen to a powerful speaker? I'm not one, but I'm sure you've said, man, what a powerful speaker. I mean, we're talking about the power of the word of God here. There's power in the gospel. So go into all the world, Chuck, members, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Not might, but will be saved. Why? Because they have been resurrected. They rose up in newness of life. You put to death the old man of sin. Remember Ephesians? You who were dead in your trespasses. And that's why Paul, Saul at the time, in Acts 22:16. It's already a mess, so I'll just write anywhere. So Acts 22:16. Here's a guy who already believed in Jesus, confessed him and repented. Preacher comes to him in the city and said, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you want to be saved, you have to have your sins remitted. What sin does, it causes you to be dead. The wages of sin is death. If, I won't pick on anybody up front here, but here's George. We have no Georges here. George brags and says, I've sinned and I don't care. Okay, George, you're dead. Because the Bible says so. You're separated from God. Sin separates you. And all death is, guys, is a separation. You understand that? Sin is just a death is just a separation from a loved one. Sin separates us from God. So we say, George, you're dead in sin. But you can become alive if you remove your sin. How do you get your sins gone? By obeying the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, this is the part, the misnomer that people say. People say, Chuck, you just preach baptism. No, I don't preach baptism. I preach the gospel. Baptism is part of the gospel. Belief is part of the gospel. Repentance is part of the gospel. Confession is part of the gospel. Because the whole point is, preach the gospel to preach people. That's our goal. I'm not to come up with man-made teachings and doctrines of men. I'm not going to do that. If I preach the doctrines of men, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cause people who are lost to stay dead. If I preach my own thing. The commission from Jesus was to go do it. And that's the final point I want to make. Remember what Mark 16:15 said, the first word? Go. Go. Urgency is brought forth in this commission. Urgency. Acts chapter 2, there, you know, I can see Peter saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Jesus hasn't come back, and it's still, what, been over 2,000 years. Where's the urgency? Go. Why? Why such urgency? Well, people are told not to wait. That's why I quoted this. Why are you waiting to rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord? Don't wait, is the point. There's urgency in for us to get the gospel. That's why Paul tried to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian. When? When do you want me to become a Christian, Paul? Now! I want you to be just like me, not in these chains, but I want you to be all together. I want you to be a Christian now. That's what we tell people. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 and 2 tells us, now is the accepted time, now is the time of salvation, today. But my question is, why the urgency? Why is there urgency? So you can be saved. That the gospel, you know, is called good news. Do you like to hear good news? I like to hear good news. Yeah, I got some good news and I got some bad news. Jack, what do you want to hear? Give me the bad news. I'm really waiting for that good news. I like to hear good news. And the good news about the gospel is what we're talking about. It's salvation. But hearing the gospel about salvation includes bad news. It's good news, but it includes bad news. What do you mean? Well, the good news about the gospel is you're lost in sin. The good news is you can be saved. It's the good, bad thing. But you have to magnify the good. Probably a bad illustration, but if I came and I told Debbie, I said, you know the Kia we got? Yeah. I was in a car accident. It's destroyed. That's the bad news. She goes, what's the good news? Well, the guy who ran into us happened to be rich, and he said we could go to any lot and pick up two new ones. Whoa! Yes! Okay. That is good news, okay? In comparison, well, who cares about that car? Run over it. But I'll tell you, the good news about salvation, how do you minimize it? That is great. But there's urgency involved in here. And when it comes to the gospel, you and I get that. There's not a person here that wouldn't come home to their mate and say, you're not going to believe what happened today. It's the best day of my life. It's the best news. She goes, what happened? Oh, I just never thought anything like that would ever happen before. She goes, what is it? You know, it's crazy. It's just amazing. Right about then, she's losing it. Will you tell me what it is? Get it, guys? Good news? Why would you hold that back? Go into all the world and preach the good news. That's what it means. Preach the good news. You don't hold that back. I've got some good news. You tell it. Yeah, I understand not everybody wants to hear it. That's a downer, isn't it? Hey, I got some good news. I don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. Well, that is a downer. There's some people who don't want to hear it. But you know what? There's some people who do. And we don't know which ones. We plant in water. We're like the sower. We throw by the wayside, the rocky, the thorny. But there's some good ground out there. There's some people out there that want the gospel. And we need to get that message out. We don't need to wait. We need to invite. We need to set up. We need to teach. We need to do all that we can. Why? Because the gospel needs to go out right. So I want to ask you a question. Have you obeyed the gospel? See, there's a time when we are born again. Now we're adding to our knowledge. You know, a person says, well, Chuck, I want to learn it all before I become a Christian. No. You spend your life learning. But you learn how to become a Christian. You learn to be born again. You get into a saved state. Save yourself. The Lord, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. So when somebody says to you that, well, you're not saved, Chuck, because you're not in heaven. What? Okay, I'm not in heaven. But I can be in a safe state. I can be in a saved state. I'm not lost anymore. I've been found. So there is a time where I can be born again, and then I need to live faithfully till death, Revelation 2:10. But I need to obey the gospel. I need to become a Christian. So that's my question. Have you ever obeyed the gospel? So Chuck, yeah, we'll obey the gospel. Great. Are you going and preaching that gospel? Huh? What? Me? Go. There's urgency involved. Well, I don't know a lot. Well, I'll learn. You are teachable. He says in Hebrews, remember, you ought to be teachers by now. But you need to go back and take the milk again. We need to add to our knowledge, folks. We need to increase. We need to grow. We need to mature because that's what the commission was. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know people I don't know. I know people you don't know. And there's just so much work to be done. It was mentioned in our prayers. We get excited about it. But what stirs it up is the commission. Nobody told me to go. Excuse me? Stand for the Lord. Nobody told me to go. Yeah. God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. That belief can start. If you don't believe, you're not going to respond. And so, folks, are you taking the message? Are you faithful to the Lord? Keith is going to be leading us in a song in just a few moments. I want you to consider what we talked about this morning. Perhaps there's some more questions that came to mind. Well, we'll sit down. We'll open up the Bible. We'll study them to make sure. But you need to make sure you obey the gospel and you go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you hear yourself with the invitation in a new way today. Let it be known as we stand together and sing the song of the man.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parting right and left, are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? let its brightness show, only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? By and by, when the sinner shall hear his sin depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
Just like to thank everyone for coming out again this morning, especially our visitors. Invite you to stay around a little bit after services if you can, so we can get to know you. Again, if you have any questions or anything you'd like to know about what we've done here this morning, please feel free to ask. We'll be happy to give you a reason for what we do here this morning. Do we have any announcements to do before we dismiss? Okay, if not, we'll be led in our closing prayer.
God with you. Father and our God, our Creator, blessed and thankful you give us another day of life, Father. And with this day of life, we can come here on this Lord's Day to worship you, Father, to learn more about your will for us. We might may please you, Father, in our service to you. We thank you for our visitors who came out today, Father. We pray for all of us as we have spiritual matters on our minds, and that's why we're here today, to learn more about you, Father. Thank you for the opportunities we all have to reach the lost. And as we heard this morning, we all have different contacts and know people that others don't, and it's our responsibility to reach out to them, and we pray that you help us to always do that. Father, we pray for the upcoming renovations of the building, that we know that no matter where we are, we can worship you, but we do pray for that day that we'll be in that new locale where we can have a more permanent place. We thank you for the opportunities we have to now start in that endeavor over the next few months. We pray that you bless all of us. Father, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the one that's come to this earth and be our example. Live the perfect life and die an excruciating death and be resurrected, that we too can have that home in heaven with you after we have accepted Jesus as our Savior. We've been resurrected through baptism, as we heard today, Father. The home's been prepared for us, and that's what we're striving for each day. Father, we ask that you allow us to come back this afternoon to be your will, that we might learn more about your will, Father, and we can make those applications to our lives and be stronger Christians for having been here. Father, we pray that you found everything we've done this morning in favor of your word. We ask these things now in the name of Jesus, your Son, and our Savior.
Job, song leader.
Oh, I missed a button on my shirt.
What?
Yeah,
and I'm usually very observant. Didn't even see.
Yeah, Mark, how are you?
I reached into my pocket and I found this.